The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
How about Roddy up next? Hello, Roddy.
Hello there, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. I trust you're having a blessed afternoon.
I am. Thank you for asking.
You had a guy call up a while ago talking about the playoffs and upsets and that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know what? I think that's the exciting part of having the playoff is giving the underdogs and the little dudes a shot at doing something better. And I'm excited about it. Look forward to it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, so what if there's an upset? I mean, I don't think that really should be a concern. We have four. We used to have two. And now we're opening it up. All the conferences that matter will be represented. And I think it's going to be one of the most exciting transformations we've ever seen.
Yeah, you see the basketball, and basketball is a completely different game than football. But upsets happen. And, you know, if UAB or Memphis gets through, then more power to them. That's what makes it exciting.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you very, very much. CB is up next in Tuscaloosa. CB, go right ahead.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
You know, I've been thinking that mulling that basketball over my head. Of course, I'm just a fan. I'm wrong about as much as I am right. But I just... That Brandon Miller, one of the best players ever been at Alabama. He was great all year, but when it come tournament time, all of a sudden he wasn't great. I don't know if it was threats or pressure or what, but we got some good players on that bench. I think he should have set him out and played some other guys. I think it could have made a little difference. What do you think?
Well, I think when your best player is 0 for the game, you probably ought to try something else. And all Brandon Miller kept doing was throwing the ball back up and missing. Hey, thank you very much, CB. You be well. You take care of yourself. Christian is up next. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How you doing?
We're okay. Thank you, Christian.
Yes, sir. I really just have one question for you. First thing I'll say, though, very proud of Alabama this year, even though they – got bounced in the Sweet 16 again. What a tremendous run for them, and everything Brandon Miller and everybody did to contribute. Just proud of them. But I actually wanted to ask about C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. When it comes to those two quarterbacks in the draft, I know we got a little bit to talk about it, but what is it that sticks out to you that separates them? Because I see really tremendous arm talent, and good mobility and character, and I see a lot of similarities, but what would you say sticks out?
Well, I frankly think the only deciding factor to me, not that I'm making the call, is the size of C.J. Stroud, and quite frankly, I think Bryce, I would personally take Bryce Young if they were the same size. I think you just have to, it's a comfort. It's just a matter of how comfortable the Panthers are versus the Texans. So for them to trade up, it tells me that they have a quarterback in mind. You don't trade up and then start experimenting in your war room. And I don't know who it is. I've seen countless people differ on who they think the Panthers will end up taking. Appreciate the call very, very much. Let's check in. Oh, hit the wrong button there. Andy is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Andy.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Just wanted to talk real quick. I know you're busy today. I've never wanted hot dogs more than ever in my life. I want to have two Chicago dogs after his call.
Man, have you ever seen anyone who likes saying the word hot dog more than him?
Well, that was entertaining, to say the least. So I just wanted to touch on that. It seems to me that the teams left standing, now this is in the men's bracket, not the women's, are the ones that seem to are managing the young talent better than some of the other coaches that loaded their team with transfer portal, NIL kids, highly qualified, skilled players. But I saw it with Alabama. I also saw a little bit with Musselman. Just being able to get the team on the floor to play as a team instead of individuals with her eye on the future, the one and guns or the NBA. I'm seeing a lack of playing for the university anymore and representing the state. And we are in a different era. I guess we better get used to that. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, Andy, I think you're right. Really well said. I don't think I can top that. Appreciate your call very, very much. Are you ready to hear from this man right now? I am. Dwayne is up next in Louisiana.
Hey.
Dwayne.
What's going on, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? Happy Lent Friday. I'm eating some ball shrimp and some ball crawfish right now.
That sounds good.
You know what I'm saying? Can't eat meat. Can't eat no meat today.
But soon. Yep. Easter will be here before you know it.
I don't worry about that. Hey, what about the Tennessee Volunteers? I told you we were going to bat them. We told you we were going to bat them out. We're going to bat them out after we. Hey, after you go out today, we're going to beat up on them again tonight. Nah, I told you that already. We're going to beat up on them.
I was doing something else last night. Tennessee beat LSU in baseball. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, in baseball. You know that. The two top 10 team playing. Last night we beat on them. Last night they won't beat on them today. They won't end it tomorrow. Beat on them tomorrow. Won't sweep them.
Hey, Dwayne, man, allow me to ask you this question. Assuming that happens, and you may be right, will that make up for the 28-point beating that Tennessee gave LSU at Tiger Stadium last October?
Yeah, right.
I like your attitude.
You're damn right. Tennessee came down here and beat the stump up. Yeah, they stomped us. Yeah, but hey, Papa, man. Hey, look, yeah, we took that butt whooping. Yeah, I ain't worried about that no more. Hey, they don't have nothing over there no more in Tennessee. Why they gonna get beat this year? Why that gimmick, that man running? Josh Hopper?
You calling that a gimmick?
Yeah, that gimmick he came out with. Yeah, he just came out with that gimmick. Yeah, he got nobody else to run that gimmick no more. He's the quarterback gone, the receiver's gone. He got nothing over that no more.
Dwayne, Tennessee's not on the schedule this year, but I'll tell you who is on the schedule. And I said this the other day, and I'm going to say it again. I hope you're good, because when that November game comes in Tuscaloosa,
we're going to beat them people, man. We might be coming in at number one. Now, we might be heading to Tuscaloosa at number one team.
November 4th, you better just take a deep breath, because you are going to be battered
blue. Take a deep breath.
Blue.
Man, nobody doing no scuba diving, man. Nobody going underwater. Only people going underwater is Nick Saban, man. Nick Saban going to scratch his head. You know how he like to scratch his head on the sideline and scream at the football players?
Yeah.
You know, he's been doing that. He like doing that, scream at them boys and all that. Hey, he get up.
Dwayne, I got the schedule up right now. I see a loss to Florida State. I see a loss at Mississippi State. I see a loss at Ole Miss.
Man, I told you about drinking that. Hey, I told you about drinking that Kentucky bourbon, whatever you drinking over there on the people on that cash show. I don't know what you drinking, Paul Feinbaum, on a Friday. You know what I'm saying? You drinking some hard liquor, man. You drinking some real. One thing, Grambling. Grambling, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Ole Miss. We're going to be Lane Kiffin. We got something for him again, too. Missouri, Auburn, Army. Oh, yeah, we'll be on the field with me, Alabama. We'll be number one.
Dwayne, I hate to break it to you, but you got a couple of losses coming.
Huh?
You got a couple of losses. Just get ready.
Yeah, right. Man, we'll be undefeated. We'll be number one coming in, man. We're going to be the number one team, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, when we get to Alabama. We're going to be undefeated. I told you that. I told you one thing, too. You let Jimbo Fisher might not meet us. Jimbo Fisher might be fired.
I'll tell you one thing about Nick Saban. Nick Saban never loses to the same team twice. Never.
Jimbo Fisher might be fired.
He did it once or twice. Jimbo Fisher beat you guys to a pulp last year.
Hey, yeah, he came. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. We didn't take that game serious. We wasn't motivated. We'll be motivated this time.
Hey, you guys barely won the Arkansas game. It wasn't for your freshman linebacker. You guys would have lost that game.
The freshman linebacker against you talking about against Arkansas?
Yeah.
Man, it was 13 below zero, man. We went up there, man.
Not my problem.
It was cold, 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 man.
Dwayne.
Yeah.
Dwayne.
It was 13. What, Mr. Paul Baumbach?
You got a nice mouth on you, but I don't think you can back it up.
Yes, I can. Hey, I'm gonna meet you in Orlando. I want to see you in Orlando when we play.
I'll see you down
there. We play
there.
Florida State.
Okay. I'll watch the game with you.
I'm gonna meet you personally.
Yeah, I'm gonna be sitting with the Seminoles. Because they're going to...
Yeah, I want you to be sitting with them. Hey, I got a hatchet for y'all. Hey, I got one of them spear. I can spear you over there, too. I can spear you. That's what I'm going to do. Hey, Mr. Papa, happy Friday to you. God bless you.
Thank you, man.
A nice weekend.
Happy. It's a very religious weekend. We'll take a break. We're a week away from Good Friday. We take a break now and more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back Friday afternoon. You feeling it? Larry is up next.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, Larry.
Hey, these guys that you pay to come on here and talk about football, I mean, I don't know. I listen to them, and there's quarterbacks they ain't mentioned. And when I mentioned Ty Simpson to you, you laughed at me, remember?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I wouldn't remember that either. Humiliate somebody and then have to eat crow. I mean, the thing about it is, Paul, if you're going to pay the people to come on there and talk Bama football, I mean, Eli Holstrom, he didn't even mention him. And so, he went out to California and smoked
Larry,
him, man. He was
about
number
guys
one
that
in everything.
Never done anything. What are you basing your information on?
I'm basing on what he did. He's at Alabama.
No, you're basing on all the Bama hype that you hear every day that has been wrong for a couple
of
years.
Hey, he's in school. He's one of the quarterbacks.
I'm aware of who he is. I do keep up.
Yeah, let me help you out, man. Hey, we got the offensive line. We're going to be running this spring and this football season. We beat that line up, that O-line, man. And you got people on here talk Mickey Mouse crap. I want to hear something, man, better than that.
Well, we have
Can
a guy.
You help me out?
We have a guy next hour.
How much you fail?
We have a guy next hour from Tuscaloosa. He'll give you the skinny.
Won't you pay me? I'll come on there.
Larry, okay, Larry.
I'll get my little gig together and come on and do about a 2-minute skit.
Larry, let's do an audition here. That's how the networks work. You know, they have a talent, they bring them in, and they do a simulation. You follow me?
Yeah, I'm in.
If you pass this, we'll hire you. Are you willing to have an audition?
Yeah, Jack.
Okay, so just follow me. Act like nobody's watching, nobody's listening. We're going to start this like we're just coming back from a break. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome back from the break. A lot of excitement going on in college football, especially at Alabama, where they're trying to win yet another national championship under legendary Nick Saban. Let's go to Tuscaloosa right now. Our man, Larry from Shelby, our new Bama beat reporter. Larry, thanks for being here. Good afternoon. Tell us what is going on in Tuscaloosa.
Man, it's jumping. It's smoking, Jack. We got our quarterbacks. We got four quarterbacks. One, Ty Simpson. He's getting kind of the go-to. But Eli Holstrom, man, he went to California and just killed him. And the O-line is beefed up.
Excuse me, Larry, you mentioned four quarterbacks. You've only mentioned Holstrom and Ty Simpson. Who else you got?
Sayan and one other one. I can't tell you his
what
name
do you mean, what do you mean, Larry?
We don't
paying,
want his name
Larry,
out
excuse
there
me,
yet.
We're paying you good money.
Get back with you.
What do you mean, one other one?
I have to get back with you. He's kind of a secret thing right now. Everybody's after him.
Okay, you're not allowed to tell us his name because he's so good. Is that correct?
Yeah, everybody's after him, Paul.
Okay, man, Larry. Let me reintroduce Larry, our new beat reporter from Bama. Larry, tell us about the running backs and the offensive line. Who's the go-to running back?
Oh, the go-to running back was the one they got from Georgia, right out from under Kirby Smart's nose.
Now,
That's the one where they did the in-house meeting, and Saban went first.
Excuse me, Larry.
And Kirby was supposed to go second.
Larry,
and guess what?
Larry, what was his name again?
The running back council, Kirby Smart.
Okay. What was his council's his name?
Yeah.
Tell us about him other than you got him right out of Kirby Smart's nose.
Oh, man, he can put it down, man. 4-4 in the 40, he's a smoker.
Okay, Larry, what about the offensive line? Who you got there?
Oh, man, we got killers, man. I can't. You know what? There's so many, Paul. I mean, they are low.
Why don't we start on the left side and go across? What's it look like, the starting lineup?
Well, I ain't got time to name all of them, Paul. They got some long names there, so I just have to get back with
you. Okay, let's move over to the defense. We got a new defensive coordinator, Kevin Steele. Is Kevin going to run the traditional set that Nick Saban's always run, or is he going to tweak it?
Nah, we're going to get away from that, O'Brien, man. We're going to get away from that other jerk that was there that legend wanted to kill.
Pete Golden.
We're going to get away from that. You know, we're going to go away from that. We're going to a 4-3 set. We're going to have a nickel.
Okay, what about the back end? We're losing a lot of really key players to the draft.
We got the killer. We got the number one player in the country back there at safety. Man, what are you talking about?
Is that the young man, Caleb Downs, that came in?
You right, man. See that? Now, you are reading my mind, Jack. Okay. You are coming in there.
So you're telling me, Larry, our reporter in Tuscaloosa, that Nick Saban's going to put a raw freshman who has not even had his high school prom yet on the back end? Is that correct?
Let me tell you, when they saw him, everybody went after him. Everybody.
Okay.
Larry, we're short on time here.
Let's go over the schedule for a second. Alabama. We'll throw the schedule up, and I'm going to have you go through it with me because Alabama has some really big.
Paul.
First game, not really a factor against Middle, but Texas game. A lot of people think Texas is going to beat Alabama this year. Your thoughts on that game?
Man, they smoking some of that stuff. Come on, man, there ain't no way.
Okay, Larry, we're short on time. South Florida, Ole Miss, at Mississippi State, at Texas A&M. This will be the two-year anniversary of when A&M beat Alabama.
It's payback.
What's that?
It's payback, Jack. That's what it is, Paul.
Okay. Larry, we got these back-to-back games. Tennessee and LSU. These are two games that Alabama lost last year.
Win. I'm going to tell you something, too. Georgia, they ain't got nobody but 60 teams they're playing. We're going to smoke them. We got something special for Georgia, baby.
Larry, I need to cut you off there, but thank you very much for being our beat reporter.
Me anytime, Paul. I'm ready. Woo! Roll Tide.
You know, I think the real question I have for the audience is there any difference between that and the rest of the people that cover Alabama for that we talk to? Huh? Any difference at all? Chaplain Mac is up next.
How you doing, Brother Paul?
Mac, you listen to this show. Does he sound like the rest of the crowd that covers Alabama?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they don't say Roll Tide out loud. They just say it under their breath.
Y'all, you and him you can tell y'all are good friends because y'all have fun.
I think he's got the job.
Come on, Paul.
And Mac, he's covering Alabama for us. You're covering Auburn.
Oh, I am not qualified for that, brother. I'm up in Tennessee right now getting ready to speak to a church tonight, and I just wanted to call and ask you.
Okay.
I heard you used to play golf.
I did play golf at one time.
Is that
time.
True?
I used to be.
What do you think about the Masters coming up?
I really haven't thought much about it, but I did. Do you play much, Mac?
I'm trying to get back started. Okay. I'm getting over an injury in the past at this age. I broke my arm and I got hit by a truck from behind and hurt my back. So my wife thinks I need to do something, so I'm trying to start back playing golf.
I have not played in a couple of years, but I could be talked into playing again.
Yeah, I like to play. I just am not very good at it anymore.
Well, that's just described 99% of the golfers that play every weekend.
Golf's tough. It's tough. It'll whip you.
So tell me this. The most important question I have is, what are you speaking about later?
I'm talking about outreach, how to love people better.
Okay.
And I'm trying to teach men to be better men and be better husbands and better fathers. I call it the Priest, Provider, and Protector series.
And I'm not asking you to give away your sermon, but give us a preview. What can we all do better?
Well, you know, you got to realize you got to take your you got a family. You're a young guy. You want to be a better father. You've got to take your place in the home. You can't be an absentee father. You can't be a workaholic. Those kids need to be around a father. They need a daddy. I had a daddy that worked 16 hours a day. Wasn't around much. And I needed my daddy and realized it later on. And I talk a lot about that because I talk a lot about relationship in the family and how much the family unit has got to make the comeback if we're going to make a comeback in humanity and really learn how to love each other and tolerate one another and be around each other.
And, Mac, this is later today you're giving this?
Yes, sir, tonight. And I'm in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Oh, my goodness. I used to spend some time up there myself.
Yeah, I like it up here. We got one of our groups up here, one of our churches up here. And I come up here. They have me up here sometimes. And I try to come up here at least once every 6 months. And this time we started doing a men's meeting. And then tonight is a culmination of kind of what I'm doing, and I'm going to speak to the whole congregation.
Well, Mac, we will be thinking of you in the Tri-Cities tonight. You be well, and I know the people listening will be moved and affected by what you say. We'll take a break. We have much more to come on a Friday afternoon. We'll talk a little bit about the big game tonight and probably on Sunday. Jeremiah Holloway covering the Gamecocks.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back, and what an evening this is going to be in Dallas. We'll head out there a couple times today. Jeremiah Holloway covers the Gamecocks for the state, covers a lot of things for them, and it's always good to say hello to Jeremiah. How are you? And I know you're excited about this weekend in Dallas.
Yes, sir. I'm doing well, Paul. Thank you for having me on. It's certainly a very exciting time for women's basketball this weekend with two very important games coming up. Of course, you have LSU playing Virginia, and then right after that is the South Carolina-Iowa game that people have been waiting a long time for. It almost happened last year. South Carolina and Iowa were in the same bracket, or the same region of the bracket, but Iowa was upset in the round of 32. So it's finally happening, and all the storylines surrounding it. So people are definitely getting up for this game for sure.
Jeremiah, I want us to start with what you do, and I mean, there's some really interesting beats in our industry, but I would think covering Dawn Staley and this team has to be one of the most exciting. What's it like being the reporter that chronicles one of the great stories in modern SEC basketball history?
Absolutely. It's definitely an honor when you really look at it, in its fullness. I came into the beat. South Carolina had already won two national championships. Of course, they are the reigning champions right now. So, covering this team, it's like they're really what they're trying to do. They're trying to add on to, I guess, kind of their historical run. The last team to win back-to-back national championships was UConn in 2015 and 2016. There have been 9 teams to go undefeated for an entire season. So South Carolina would be the 10th team to do that if they were to do so this year. So it's so interesting. You're looking at a team that is kind of finding new ground to break, with as much as they've already done. And they, of course, have, in my opinion, a generational talent in Aaliyah Boston, somebody with incredible footwork in the post, somebody who's an incredible defender. And then you have, Dawn Staley, who a multi-time gold medalist as a player, obviously a player of the year when she was in college at Virginia, had her share of Final Four runs as well. And then you see everything that she's done as a coach in women's basketball. It's certainly a beat that, there's a lot of eyes on it, especially those bigger games. They had Stanford on ABC back in November, and then obviously, they had the SEC tournament. They had game day for the SEC tournament. Of course, they had the UConn game that was a sellout on the road. So they played in front of big crowds. And so just kind of being there in those environments, where people are very passionate about women's basketball. Like I said, UConn, Stanford, South Carolina, those are schools that are very passionate about their women's basketball. And so, kind of following along with that team, obviously now down here to Dallas in the Final Four, people are, they're familiar with, the Zaya Cooks and the Bree Beals as well, not just Aaliyah Boston and Dawn Staley. So, it's definitely a beat that has a lot of interest, and it's definitely, it's definitely a team, to continue to follow over the course of the weekend.
Jeremiah, you mentioned Iowa and, of course, Caitlin Clark, and we have the epic matchup that all college basketball fans have been salivating about. Take us inside this matchup and what you're looking for.
Certainly. So I think a lot of the excitement has to do with you have Caitlin Clark, this year's player of the year. You see the triple doubles. You see the 30, 35-foot three-point attempts. Then you have last year's, player of the year in Aaliyah Boston, the defense that she plays. Her numbers are actually down from what they were last year. A lot of that, I think, has to do with the fact that teams have really just caught on to what she's been able to do. The players around her have also just gotten a lot better. A player like Zaya Cook is shooting a career high with a field goal percentage, leading the team in scoring. A player like Bree Beal has picked up her outside shooting. You have players off the bench like a Camila Cardoso that's taken a step up. And I think for Iowa, you can't sleep on Caitlin Clark's supporting cast as well because, of course you have, McKenna Warnock, who's a knockdown shooter. Obviously you have Monica Sinano, who does her thing. She's very efficient with her touches. I think a lot of people have a lot of high interest in Caitlin Clark because she is, I think Caitlin Clark is much see TV, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, you know, because of the shots that she's able to take and make and her passing ability. So, you know, there's a lot of excitement. And I think there's a lot of also banter between the two fan bases, which has been very interesting to see, because you have, you know, the South Carolina fans that, you know, believe, hey, like, you know, Caitlin Clark's getting all this attention, but Aaliyah's been there. She's won it. She swept the Players of the Year awards last year. And then you have, of course, the Iowa fan base. You know, this is a generational talent. You know, this is somebody that can get their offense whenever she wants to. So, you know, I think, you know, from both sides, you know, everybody is kind of, you know, has their points that they're making of whose team is better. And, you know, South Carolina, again, trying to make history. Iowa trying to kind of, you know, be the spoiler and play the spoiler in that situation. So I'm expecting a great atmosphere, you know, especially after that LSU Virginia Tech game. I think the atmosphere for Iowa South Carolina, I really can't wait to see what that's going to look like. And then obviously, you know, looking at how it plays out in real time, those are two talented teams. I think the defense of South Carolina does give it a bit of an edge to me because, you know, they are the third best, if I have it correct, third best scoring defense in the country. So, but it will certainly be a sight to see, and everybody's eyes will be on it.
Jeremiah, before you go, just you mentioned the scene out there, and we'll see it tonight, obviously, on TV. You'll be there. But what has it been like with all these passionate women's college basketball fans in Dallas?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I really can't, you know, kind of go outside without seeing Dawn Staley. We were, you know, outside in downtown Dallas yesterday, and, you know, she had the recent partnership with Aflac. And so, you know, some of the kind of signs out there, like the digital signs that got like the change, you know, Dawn Staley was up there, you know, probably once every, you know, four or five rounds on there, you know, so you see the different signs that, you know, have the Gamecocks logo on it as well. I saw a few Iowa fans earlier walking around. LSU fans travel really well too. And then, you know, of course, Virginia Tech, you know, their fan base is here as well, and excited to see them make some history. But I'll speak, you know, to kind of to the South Carolina fan base. I mean, they travel extremely well. I remember being in the SEC tournament, which is in Greenville, and then also the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight was hosted in Greenville. They were home games. They really were home games. And so, honestly, I expect a ton of South Carolina fans. I expect a lot of LSU fans because of the distance. But, yeah, so certainly you see the different fan bases being represented, even just from other – I mean, I saw some UConn fans at my hotel today. So, you know, everybody's here. Everybody kind of, you know, knows what's going on, and just really excited to watch some really good basketball.
Hey, Jeremiah, if you see any of those UConn fans, give them a message from me to tell them their time is over. It's South Carolina's time. Hey, thanks. We'll catch up with you when this is all over. You enjoy the game tonight, and it was a great pleasure having Jeremiah Holloway on from the state. Thank you, Jeremiah. You be well. As we head to the break, we want to let everybody know we're thinking we saw the president in Mississippi today, and we've heard from so many of our friends down there with that devastating tornado a week ago. There's another tornado on the loose today, and there's already been some serious damage in Little Rock. And I know we have a lot of viewers and listeners in Arkansas, and we are thinking of all of you as this terrible storm makes its way east. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here. Let's get to the calls. And Sandy in Austin, you're on the air. Hello, Sandy.
Hi, Paul. Good to talk to you this afternoon.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call. I may be opening myself up for a whole bunch of pushback, but I had a comment about your call with Larry a little while ago.
Yeah.
I just want to say how entertaining I find it, because I see you as this great jungle cat circling and toying with your food before you absolutely devour it. And that's all. Oh, I did have one other thing. When Larry comes into a battle of wits with you, maybe he should be armed.
Well, I was amused by him because I'll ask Larry to turn his TV down, but Larry was only doing what he's used to. I mean, Alabama people covering Alabama, talking about all the great parts and failing to look at the big picture.
Right, right, exactly. Well, but I just meant as a whole, the calls as a whole, with when you have the all-stars on.
Yeah, they are different. Hey, listen, Sandy, thank you very, very much for calling. Bubba is up next. Hello, Bubba.
What's shaking, Paul?
We are doing great, Bubba. It's Friday.
Man, you threw a big handful of pepper on Dwayne's gumbo, didn't you?
Yeah, Dwayne's just not going to walk in here and get away with that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, you got him and the fight Ned Orgeron fired up. That was a good call. It was entertaining.
Thank you.
No, actually, I heard you earlier talking about you thought we had the four best teams in the playoffs this year, and I'm not going to argue with that. I'm just curious. If we'd had 12 teams in a playoff scenario this last season, do you see any path for TCU making it to the championship game? And I'll hang up and let you tell me.
Well, yes, I do, because you know they beat they lost. I take it back. They lost in the to Kansas State in the championship game. That's no. The answer is no. That I was about to make the argument that beating Michigan wasn't enough. I think somebody would have gotten them. They flirted with that for too long. Appreciate the call. Thank you very, very much. Mike, another caller from Austin. I have a feeling Austin's going to be a popular place for us in the future. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Hook 'em horns.
Hook 'em.
Yeah. I was calling. Hey, I was watching the Horns play the Aggies the other night in baseball.
Right.
And I just don't understand why they have it. The Aggies have their uniform that says Texas Aggies on it. Have you ever heard of the Michigan Spartans or the Florida Seminoles or the Arizona Sun Devils or the Texas Horned Frogs?
Is that part of the? Because I know I've always heard them call themselves the Texas Fighting Aggies, or do they use A&M in that, or just is that Texas before that? I didn't notice that.
No. Yeah, that's what they kind of threw me for a loop there because they left off the A&M, but
yeah,
that's Aggie being Aggie. I mean, what can you say? But hey, Paul, I love the show.
And thank
you. I'm really looking forward to joining the SEC next year, and it's going to be great. And Matt from San Antonio, man, I love that guy. He's got some spirit to him, but he's just a weird Aggie. That's all I got to say. Hook him.
This is what we have to look forward to in a little bit over a year. Longhorns and Aggies going at it on a Friday afternoon. Todd is up next. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I heard y'all yesterday talking about famous announcers.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you what, an announcer can build a game up more so than anything. I mean, make it really big. When I was younger, you remember Leonard Loser used to come on Saturday mornings?
Oh, sure. Leonard Posterius.
Yes, and it was great. And then I go back to think about the wide world of sports, Jim McKay and Kurt Gowdy. And it made it bigger than life to me. But I'll tell you this, Paul. That old Hugh from North Carolina up there, his voice is gold. How did that guy not make an announcer?
Well, he should have been. I mean, Hugh from Deep Gap, North Carolina, he's got one of the most resonant voices I've ever heard.
Oh, he does, Paul. He's something else. That voice of his is just – it's magnified.
I wonder if maybe he was an opera singer in his youth.
I don't know, but his voice is great. Let me ask you this. If Charles would start calling the show, could he get in on the bracket on a wild card?
Oh, if Charles called today, we'd advance him to the Final Four right away.
I wished he would, Paul, but I'll tell you this. Paul, have you ever thought about this? Jim thinks that without him, you wouldn't have a show.
Well, he has said that countless times.
I know, and I don't, Paul, you worked real hard to get where you're at. I mean, went to college, wrote the newspaper columns, and Jim didn't make you. You made yourself and God behind you. And I want to say this. I appreciate you for everything. That's about all I got, Paul. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you very, very much. Trey is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
I was just wanting to let you know. Next year, we're going to have the freaking trifecta of the double effect of Arkansas 8, and I was wanting to call in about with this. I got two things. Who's the bigger wild card in the SEC? Arkansas, Mississippi State are my two of the biggest, and then why does Arkansas always get stuck with the hardest schedule in the SEC? Like, there should be no reason for that middle part of the schedule. Alabama, everybody in the SEC does not have that.
Trey, you're right. I mean, Arkansas, for whatever reason, is in that position. Hey, we'll figure that out in a minute. We are halfway home on a Friday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.